to do by the authority of that government and country or king. And that amazing authority that he has can only be taken to the level of the authority that he's been given. He can't go out there and do things and that he's not authorized to do. He has an obligation to remain within the confines and the boundaries of his portfolio. I think we need to learn a lot from that. Because the marks of an ambassador are simply this. If I want to be an ambassador for Australia, I have to be a citizen of Australia. That's simple. And I can't be an alien because I can't represent my king or my country if I'm a foreigner to that country. I need to be a citizen. So an alien can't represent their king or country. And Paul calls us ambassadors of the Lord Jesus, ambassadors of the King of Heaven. And we've got to recognize and realize to be an ambassador for God, we must be a citizen of heaven. Now the Bible tells us that we are actually citizens of God's kingdom when we come to the Lord Jesus. The Bible takes us from a position of where we were lost and away from God and separated from God and alien to God and foreign to God, and he moves us into his kingdom. And the Bible tells us this, that he delivered us from all the authority of darkness. Now, people sometimes put the kingdom of darkness. There is no kingdom in darkness. There's no king ruling in that area, okay? There's an authority taken there that was surrendered to the powers of darkness through Adam and Eve's falling into sin. And God has delivered us from the power of darkness, or the authority of darkness, or the authority of the old life, or the authority of where we were in alienation to God and living under a foreign realm of authority, and translated us, where? Into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now what we don't understand sometimes is that is current, alive, and vibrant now. I'm a citizen of a kingdom that I actually haven't visibly seen, that I haven't actually visited, or actually haven't really sort of put my foot on its soil or grounds in a literal sense. And that's what you can't be in a natural world. You can't be. You've got to be an ambassador of the country you live in and are a citizen of. But in this instance, we have a much greater charge, a much greater portfolio. When God translates us into his kingdom and he takes us from what we were and we become a child of God by surrendering to him, he immediately puts us on the register roll of the kingdom of heaven. Citizenship signed, sealed, and delivered. We have to recognize that. We have to understand that. It is something that is so real to us and yet not fully understood, grasped, or actually taken to its fullest extent by so many of God's people in the church. When we take that in reality, we then understand that we are actually under a totally different authority to the authority that is governing this world and the kingdom of darkness, or the powers of darkness. We take ourselves completely away from that. And if we recognize and realize that, we should realize and recognize then that that authority has no other hold over us. That authority has then been neutralized, nullified, rendered powerless, and the only power or authority it can have over our life is what we then surrender to or give to it. Do you understand that? So if I'm a king's kid in the kingdom of heaven, and I'm here, and I see over there that, wow, gee, that looks like a pretty good bit of lifestyle that I want to get involved in, and I shift myself into receiving from that, I have actually then given that power or authority into my life through my own will. But if I look at myself in God's eyes and from the kingdom of heaven's perspective and recognize that the final word of authority and power of authority over my life is my King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells me sin shall not have dominion or authority over you. There is so much going on out there that is trying to steal our life in God away from us. There is so much that's constantly barraging us and saying, hey, you know, you're not really good enough, or you haven't quite made it, or you really don't really think that you're fully, you know, a king's kid, do you? And the challenge is always there in our thought life and thoughts implanted in our life to make us think we're not what God made us to be. And I find that really, really a challenge. And it wasn't until I was probably 20-something when I was really came to understand the reality of who God had made me to be and who I was in Christ Jesus. And I'd fought and battled and gone through all this conviction of that I was never good enough, I was never going to make it, I always failed God, I did things, and the finger was always pointed at me as being never right, never good enough. Not just by the church I was in, but by my own thought life. I was always barraged with this condemnation that if I fail God, you know, that I was never going to make it. I was always on the outer. Then I came to an understanding of what the Word of God said. That He's translated me out of the authority of darkness into the kingdom of His Son. That He made me to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I learned to read that scripture. And I remember being taught that, to pray, read the Word of God over my life until I believed it beyond any shadow of doubt. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says this, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. I know I've said this here before, but I believe I've got to bring it out again. And I read that scripture to myself and put my name in it. And I probably did this for a year. If any man, I'm an any man, and my name is Ken. So if Ken be in Christ Jesus, which I am, I'm surrendered to Him, I've given my life to Him, I have made my life a life that God, that is in God, and I know I struggle, but I am still in Christ Jesus. So if Ken is in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. Wow. Why am I struggling with old things? Why am I always having to deal with things that are coming up from my past or other things? Because this scripture says if Ken is in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. And he is a new creature. Sorry, I missed a bit. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And I would go, so if Ken is in Christ, he is a new creation. What is a new creation? Something that's different to what he was before. So I learned to preach that to myself in pray reading that scripture. If Ken be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation or a new creature different to what he was before. And the old things that he was and lived in and did are passed away, and everything that he does now has become new. And I spoke to myself. I read that scripture to myself. And not only that one, many, many, many others that spoke to me personally about who Christ was in me and who I was in him. And I found them in the Word of God, and I began to take them literally and pray them into my life, personalizing them strongly, very strongly. You know, today you could take anything you wanted and threaten me with it or whatever, you could never shake my foundation of who Christ is and who in me and who I am in him. It's so solidified, it is so strong, it is so grounded, it could never be shaken. There's not a doubt, there's not a thought, there's not a challenge that would turn me away from what I know out of the Word of God of who Christ says I am. That is so amazing. Am I perfect? No. Almost. Do I make mistakes? Yes. Does it shake who I am? No way. It used to once. It used to bring me down. It used to get me down. It used to bring me to a point of where I couldn't handle myself sometimes. But knowing what God's Word has said about me and about who I am in Him has totally solidified anything and everything I am, say, and do to the point where nothing can shake me. Often I'll make a mistake and I'll immediately, I don't wait till the prayer line on Sunday, and nor do I wait till I go home and say my prayers at night, and nor do I get into some sort of ritual. I say, God, I'm sorry I did that. I don't want to offend you. And I thank you for your forgiveness in my life. And you know, that happens whenever I find myself doing things or saying or thinking things that I know offend my God. Because of that foundation that's there. And I'd encourage you to recognize that that foundation needs to be built in all of our lives. Because if we're going to be an ambassador of the King of Glory, then we need to recognize our citizenship in his kingdom and what his citizenship entitles us to as members or as citizens of that kingdom. And I tell you what, it's glorious. It's amazing. It's incredible. Isn't it, mate? It sure is. Yes. And so God is on our side. He's not against us. He's not ready to point the finger at us. But his blood avails for us. When he sent his son Jesus at Calvary, we are covered, not just covered by that blood, but I'm sure that through the Holy Spirit, we got the life of God pumping through our veins like we have our own life. It's not the literal blood, but certainly the life of God. And the Bible says the life of the body is in the blood. So if the blood avails for me, the life of God is in my body. Amen? Amen. And we got to recognize that. So an ambassador actually virtually gives himself over completely to the cause of that position in the kingdom. He becomes selfless in all that he is. He's set apart, completely given over to that position, because he, in another land, is under the spotlight to some degree. And you've got to remember that. But when an ambassador is in a foreign country, he's actually not part of that country. So he's a little bit different to the rest of the people around him. He might think differently. He might speak with a funny accent, or if you're an Aussie, a good accent. And if you know, and all that sort of thing. But he definitely stands out from the crowd to some degree. And so his position there as being different or set apart is important, because it definitely shows who he is. It identifies him thoroughly. And he's in constant contact with the government he represents, with the king or queen on the throne, with the country that he represents. There is constant communication, because the lines of communication then allow him to represent his country to its ultimate and optimum best. Can you see the picture there? Can you see if we're in a land that is foreign to God, and even though we're citizens of Australia legally and in the natural, we're in a land, we're in a kingdom, we're in a earth place that is not God-centered, God-focused, and God-ruled and God-governed, so we are in essence ambassadors in a foreign land. But we need to be exactly like an ambassador is to a real country. Amen? Set apart, selfless, and in constant contact with the king on the throne. That gives us the power and the authority to function and operate as God's ambassadors in this land, in this nation. And I really believe that God wants us to be so in touch with him that his life and his thoughts and his desire for this land will be represented through us as his ambassadors. He's not here to turn around and take it over by force or bring in a foreign army. He's here to show people why he came. Let's look at this next slide, Anthony. That's the marks of an ambassador. An ambassador, active in representing and representing whatever they've got to offer. And in this case, we are amazing. We've got an amazing message. We've got an amazing product to offer. But we look at some of the scriptures. A messenger is an ambassador of God. So what is the message? What is the message that we have to bring? And we find that in these scriptures here, God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. You see, he saw that there was a separation. There was a God and man through sin had been separated from Adam and Eve's time for all of that time, from Genesis through to when Christ came. And God's heart was for reconciliation in its ultimate form, where God and man could be fully in relationship again, reconciled as Father and Son. And I don't know if you've ever been in a scenario or seen a scenario where families are broken up and there's an absolute total mile and a world apart between people in families. It's heartbreaking. It's heart-wrenching. I remember as a young man being in a church where this guy named Bill Ambrose, he was one of the elders of the church, one of the older men, and he stood on the Word of God for years, where he read in Acts one day where it said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved and your household." And I remember him over and over and over and over again just interceding for his son that he hasn't seen since the boy was 18 years old, and he hadn't seen him for over 30 years at this stage. And he used to get up and he'd confess with his mouth this scripture. And he says, "The Bible tells me that if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only would I would be saved, but so would my household. And I have not seen my son for so long. He took off as a young man, seeking his own way in life, and I haven't seen him, my heart breaking for him. He carried a photo of him constantly. But he said, my Bible tells me I will be saved and my household. And he said, I stand before you today and I bring my son before the throne of grace, that in the name of Jesus, wherever he is, someone in God's kingdom will bring Christ into his life and he'll be born again." And he stood for that kid. Now, I don't know the ultimate outcome, but I remember when Bill passed away at his funeral, the son definitely wasn't there. I was at that funeral. And I thought of it, and I thought, well, Lord, you got a job to do. This man stood in faith for his son. And I'm standing and believing that that son one day will come to know Jesus somehow, some way, and fulfill what this man believed in your word. That guy was so passionate about reconciliation, he would love to have seen his son before he died. It didn't happen. But I still believe that God took his case. Totally believe it. Because that's the God we represent. He's true to his word. And as his representative in Jesus' name, we can take that and we can see that God was in Christ Jesus, and his ministry was to bring reconciliation between God and man. That estrangement that had gone on for 4,000 odd years, that separation that people on this planet could not have an interaction with their Father in heaven on a personal level, would have been a heartbreaker for our Father. Would have been just a sad scenario, because God made man to have fellowship with him. God created us in his image. Every time he looks at us, he sees himself. You know what God looks like? We're made in the image of God, not in that actual physical form. But I'm body, soul, and spirit. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's one part that's in the image of God for a start. Three-part being. God was there. Paul said to this in 2 Corinthians 5:18, and he said that he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So what's the message of an ambassador in a foreign land? There's an estrangement that's gone on over the years, and our God loves you with a passion. And if there are people out there that are seeking answers, that are seeking life's meaning, that are looking for things, the message of reconciliation through Christ Jesus is that God sent his son to take our place where we deserve punishment for our sins, for our independence, for being away from God, to take that punishment so us coming to Christ Jesus will be fully reconciled to God. Wow, that's really the message in essence. So if I'm going to talk to people out there as a representative of God, what do I represent? God's message of reconciliation. I do. That's my product. That's my heart. And Paul, when he read a scripture, I want you to read, I think it's on the next, I think I put it out on the next slide, Anthony. This is where Paul in Romans 9, 1-4 in the English Standard Version said this. Paul said this, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Wow, is that a passion for people or what? Is that a heart? I don't know that I could bring myself to even say that, that I would give up my Christianity so you could have Christianity. Man, I treasure my life in God. But Paul had such an anguish for people, such a passion for people, for those of Israel that were cut off from Christ, and his heart cried for them. They're Israel's, and to them that belong, the adoption, and that's those that are not actual physical Israel people, those that are outside in other countries, in other from other lines and generations that were not Israelites, was given the spirit of adoption that they could come to, in through Christ and be called the family of God because of that. And the glory, the covenants, the giving the law, the worship, and the promises of God were all available to them. And Paul see that they were living outside of them. Paul could see that. And Paul's heart was breaking. Paul's anguish and Paul's cry was that all men everywhere would come to repentance. And you know, that's the same passion that Christ had. When he got up on the hill over Jerusalem and he cried out and he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you wouldn't. He saw the crowd so many times with their needs, and his heart was full of compassion for them. He was moved and motivated with that sort of compassion. Let's go back at one slide. The motive of an ambassador was exactly what I just spoke about then. Seeing men and women that are bound for a Christless eternity should stir us up enough to say, I need to bring the message of Christ into this life, into this household, into this scenario, into this situation. And if we're fully functioning as ambassador of the King of Glory, if we're in touch with the throne the way an ambassador is in touch with the throne of a government or country, they are there to get the latest word on what they need to represent that king with. And you know, our king will give us insight. We've got the Spirit of God has been given to us to pass on the very heart of God to the people we come in contact with. But we can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it of our own volition. It's just not there. What's Romans 9:23? Oh, that's the one I just read. Let's go back to it, Anthony. We can't do it because he speaks here. He says, I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons the Spirit of God was given and that we can be empowered by the Spirit of God is to be fully empowered by God to be his ambassadors. And you know, I've talked a little bit lately, and those of you that have heard me speak on the name of Jesus, I've been really taking this to God lately so much and wanting his heart on it, wanting his insight on it. And I know we are to carry that name. And as ambassadors of God, he told us to go in his name. Take my name and go. And he always spoke to them, whatever you ask the Father in my name, whatever you do in my name, etc., etc. But I've wanted God's heart on how to be functionally active in representing the name of Jesus, not just carrying it because I know I can pray in Jesus' name and because it's there for my benefit, but what way can I bring that to this world that I live in and be most effective for God? I have taken that to him so often. There's a scripture there from John 15, Anthony, a little further on. I might just skip a little bit. But Jesus said this, this is my commandment that you love one another. Wow. Well, that's in-house. Sometimes it's real easy. Sometimes We're like the bricks in the old temple of when they built the temple in Jerusalem originally. All of the groundwork for that temple was done in the quarries. Every brick was formed and shaped and rubbed together to ensure no rough edges were on it. And when it was assembled, it went together without a sound, and each brick fitted into position perfectly. We're in a quarry situation at the moment where we still get a little bit of our rough edges knocked off us. We don't like it sometimes. We don't like the correction or the change of direction, or sometimes things being changed and altered in our lives. But that's part of God's pattern for building his kingdom. But that's what it needs and what it takes. And really, he said to us, love one another. He didn't say love the ones you like. Don't love the people that agree with you only. He said, just love one another. And that's an amazing commandment that he gave us. Greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends. I think an ambassador does that for his kingdom, amen? An ambassador lays his life down to represent king and country. I wonder if that's what God requires of us, to lay our lives down. You know, I learned a lot about representing God. And I used to be so, you know, I didn't want to be teased because I was a Christian. I didn't want people to point the finger. And so I was a closet Christian for years. And I think some people are like that still. They go to church, but you know, and that's fine, and they believe in God, but I want a proactive life in God. Amen? I want to be an active representative. And I learned one day that Bible said this to me, for you are dead, and your life is hidden in Christ in God. And I thought, what does that mean? For you are dead, for Ken, for I, me. Am I dead, Lord? I started talking about it. How can I be dead? I'm still alive. Now you, in all that you want to be and do in yourself for your own selfish means and purposes, are dead. Your life is now fully hidden in Christ in God. You're in his kingdom. You're in his hands. You're in his domain. And everything outside of that is now dead and gone out of your life. And you know what that taught me? I was a dead man. You know what I learned? You can't embarrass a dead man. I've never seen a dead man blush. I've never seen a dead corpse. At a funeral, when people are talking about the person, good, bad, or otherwise, get embarrassed or blush. The corpse doesn't know a thing about it. The corpse is only interested in getting buried, or the people are only interested in seeing the corpse taken to finalize the funeral service. I began to realize that if I was dead and my life was hidden in Christ in God, that I could represent my Lord Jesus and I didn't have to be embarrassed about it. So you can't embarrass me. Doesn't matter who it is, where it is, or whatever, I can never, ever be ashamed or embarrassed. Because Paul said that, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's God's authority and power to salvation to everyone who believes. Amen? That's such an amazing position to be in, to know that fully. And so we lay down our life for our friends. And Jesus said, you're my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves. Or your slave does not do what his master is doing, but he does what he's told. And I've called you friends, for the things I've heard from my Father I have made known to you. There was an intimacy there. There was a closeness. There was an acquaintanceship that brought them into the very inner sanctum of the heart of God. And this is what Jesus requires for us. He says, you're not my friends. Back then it was friends, but he no longer calls us friends. He calls us sons and daughters, amen? We've been taken into his kingdom in a greater level. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you would go bear fruit and your fruit would remain. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. And this is amazing. He repeats this same thing up the front. This is my commandment, that you love one another. So it all begins and ends in love when God commissions us, calls us, makes us his own, chooses us as his family, and gives us the authority of his kingdom to be his representatives. I'm not going on any further with that because I got so much more out of this. It was quite incredible. And I'd love to share it over whenever God gives me the right to over the next few weeks and so forth. But this, not just carrying the name Jesus, because it has been bestowed on us, but actively representing that name Jesus in everything that we are, say, and do for the benefit of the kingdom we're the ambassadors of. Amen. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you that you've called us to yourself. I thank you that you've made us to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. I thank you that old things have passed away and all things have become new. I thank you that you've made us your children. You've made us sons and daughters of the living God. You've given us your Holy Spirit. You've given us your name. And you've made us ambassadors of your kingdom. Father, today I pray over these people here and over myself that we, Lord God, would fully begin to comprehend and understand what you've done for us, what you've given to us, and that, Lord, we would be totally set apart, totally self-sacrificing, totally surrendered for the cause and the purpose of your kingdom to flow through us into this world. Father, we believe for men and women in this land, across this town, everyone we're in contact with in our workplaces, wherever we go, Lord God, with our families, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Father God, that the anointing of your Holy Spirit would empower us to fully represent you, to see these people come into your kingdom. For we know your heart, that it's not the will of our Father in heaven that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Father, I pray that as we've learned to come in contact with you, that your heart would be presented through our lives to bring people to you, to see lives change for your glory and for your kingdom, in and through the glorious name of that Son Jesus, whom we love and represent. We thank you for it. Amen. Wow, God's good, isn't he? Oh.